This is Radio Kate at the World Conference of Science Journalists 2011. We're here in Qatar at the Qatar Foundation, and I've just decided that I'd take a little stroll around and see what some of the exhibition booths had. And I'm here with David Truba from the Water Supply and Sanitation Collaborative Council. Now that is an enormous mouthful. What actually is it and what do you do?
Well, it's a big and complicated name for a big and complicated problem. And the problem is sanitation and hygiene at the global level. Because a lot of people don't know it, but diarrhea or diarrheal-related diseases kill 5,000 children every day. That's about 2 million every year. It's an unknown scandal because, in essence, that's more people dying because of poor sanitation and sanitation-related diseases than die of, for example, HIV/AIDS every day and other diseases, malaria. And so what we do at WSSCC is try to raise awareness of this issue and get it higher on both national and international political agendas. And we do that through advocacy work, for example. But then we also function as a membership organization. We have members who are basically sanitation and hygiene professionals working in really poor developing countries, and we help them out with knowledge through capacity building and tools that help them to do their jobs better. And what we feel strongly and passionately about is this is an issue that, you know, in the 21st century, the world really has the means to tackle. Again, if you consider the fact that 40% of humanity, 4 out of every 10 people on the planet, can't do what you or I do every day 4 or 5 times, 3,500 times a year, and that is, you know, to find a safe, private, comfortable place to take care of nature's call. And we think this is a tragedy, and we try to work to end the problem. And we're not so well known as a UN entity, but we are actually part of the United Nations system, belonging to something called the United Nations Office for Project Services. And we have a secretariat in Geneva, Switzerland, but we have what we call national WASH coalitions. WASH stands for, of course, water, sanitation, and hygiene, in more than 30 countries, mostly in sub-Saharan Africa and South Asia, because that's where two-thirds of the 2.6 billion people who don't have access to safe toilets live. The other third are roughly in China and a bit more in Latin America and in, for example, Southeast Asia, but primarily South Asia and sub-Saharan Africa, so that's where we focus on our work.
So, I mean, quite surprising numbers there. I mean, huge numbers of people being affected by this. Why do you think we don't hear more about it? Is it because it's, for want of a better word, it's not really a kind of sexy thing to talk about? Or is it because, I'm just trying to think, I mean, like, we're talking about big problems like HIV and everybody's sort of searching for an answer, for a cure, for a solution, and yet with this it seems silly because we have one. So why is more not being done to stop all these deaths?
Oh, well, that's a great question. Fortunately, more is being done. You're seeing more international initiatives focusing on this issue. Just 2 weeks ago, Ban Ki-moon launched at a press conference in New York something called the 5-Year Drive for Sanitation, which is an attempt to get the sanitation target in the Millennium Development Goals back on track. It's the only one, or possibly one of two, that actually won't be met, which is quite unfortunate because the MDGs have been, you know, despite what people may think of them, they've been the global kind of development agenda for the last 10 years. And the reason why it may not be so well known is because, yes, as you said, it talks about sanitation. I mean, there are other euphemisms for that. We can call it excrement. Actually, my friends aren't so happy because if they get me involved in a dinner conversation, then I'll start talking about it, and I'll actually be using the word shit, sorry about that, in polite dinner conversation. But actually, that's part of the point, because if you think of the HIV/AIDS discussion 20 or 25 years ago, politicians weren't often bringing it up in public, and they weren't using the word sex in public just because it wasn't a good thing to do. And we feel that that's sort of how sanitation is. Now, obviously, a lot of people lump water supply and sanitation together, and there are linkages, particularly when it comes to hygiene and hand washing, but in a way, they're different. for different reasons. Number one, in both international development aid and also in national programs, historically, if there's been water supply and sanitation work, 95% of the work has been in water supply, 5% has been sanitation, including the financing of it. And you also don't really see Angelina Jolie or other people really signing up to be spokesperson for these kinds of issues. But that's starting to change, and it's changing in part because, at this conference, for example, a fantastic gathering of scientists who are covering both technology but also other science-related stories and health-related stories. You're hearing discussions about, for example, how to cover HIV/AIDS and malaria, and there are lots of important causes out there, and it's right that the work is done in them, and it's right that they're scrutinized, the work that's being done by agencies, for example. But if you take something like hygiene, promotion in the area of hand washing, for example, it's the single most cost-effective health intervention in the world. Nobody knows that. $5 basically creates what they call one disability-adjusted life year averted, so an improved quality of life. Antiretroviral drugs per daily averted life year adjusted cost about $300 to $500. So in a way, we call kind of hygiene promotion the do-it-yourself vaccine. And the way we work in this sector now has also evolved, because about 20 years ago, governments, both in developing countries and international donors, they've known that sanitation has been a problem. There was an entire decade, the 1980s, the international decade on water and sanitation, which were devoted to this. But it didn't get so far. It got further with water supply than with sanitation, because in part, it's a sort of a different thing to do. If you're in a village and there's a well that's dug, or if there's water that's piped in, then people are quite happy to have access to water, and they're quite happy to maybe share that water point or that tap. Sanitation is a different thing. People, they usually want to have a toilet which is their own, certainly which is clean, and which is sustainable. And so sanitation very much gets into sociological cultural issues and taboos that water supply doesn't necessarily have, because everyone can kind of see the benefits automatically that come with water supply. And so just one quick example in sort of the emerging area of research around sanitation as to why people don't want sanitation. There have been some studies that have shown, for example, that in villages in West Africa, some villagers don't want to have their human waste, their excrement, collected in one place, because their sort of traditional rivals might then collect it and use it against them as part of voodoo. And so if you're an engineer thinking about solving a sanitation or a health-related problem, is that something that ordinarily you would have thought of? 25 years ago, probably not. More and more we understand these kind of issues, and that's why we're working on them.
It's interesting that you bring that subject up. I was wondering, what are the sort of biggest challenges you're facing? Is it, you know, sort of practical implementation and the engineering side of it and the infrastructure, or is it a cultural sort of mind shift that you have to combat, or a combination of the two?
That's a very good question. It's really a combination of the two. I mean, in part, the sanitation and hygiene issues are related to just overall global development and growth. I mean, the world is growing by 80 million people every year. That's a country the size of Germany being added to the planet every year. 90% of those people are coming into being in the large megacities in the developing world. So those are cities that have a whole host of problems, not just sanitation and hygiene. And they're also very crowded and congested areas. So it might be difficult to find space for toilets. There might be people who are living in what are considered to be informal areas in places like Mumbai, where the government might not feel inclined to provide them with services, because that then implies that they have land tenure. So there are these political issues, and then there are the technological issues in urban areas. And as we know, the planet from about a year or two ago is more than 50% urban, but it's also still almost 50% rural. And so in a lot of those rural areas, the difficulty does involve changing behaviors or ingrained habits. There might be places where it's been quite all right to go into the bush to take care of your daily need, but even rural areas, you have diseases related to sanitation and hygiene, such as diarrhea, that can be prevented quite easily and effectively.
Mm-hmm. So just looking to the work that you're doing, what would you sort of consider a successful outcome in the next sort of, I don't know, maybe 5 to 10 years? You know, something that you think, well, we've really made progress now. What's a realistic goal, I guess I'm asking?
Well, for our organization, the WSSCC, we actually have some very specific quantifiable outcomes, particularly through the implementation of a fund that we have called the Global Sanitation Fund, which is not a loan mechanism. It's a sanitation grants financing mechanism to NGOs, community groups in developing countries to do sanitation and hygiene-related promotion. So in a number of countries and in a number of regions at scale, we have the intention to contribute to or entirely create areas which are called open defecation-free, which means that people aren't going to the bathroom out in the open, which means that their own human waste isn't having the possibility to affect the health of other people. So through this fund, we actually hope to tangibly improve the lives of millions of people, 30 million or more over the next 5 years, in these first few countries where the Global Sanitation Fund has started, which include Malawi, Madagascar, Senegal, India, and Cambodia, and will also include, for example, Uganda and Ethiopia and some other countries in the coming years. So those are tangible goals. But what we've already seen now, actually, is that especially in a sector such as sanitation and hygiene, which traditionally has been very fragmented, people have their own approach or they have their own ideas. What the GSF in its startup phase has been doing has been sort of getting people around a table in a country to talk about these issues and think about how can we really attack them in an effective and new and innovative way, and an altruistic way also, not wearing sort of the hats of our organizations, but looking at what's important in terms of the needs of this country. So we think that this sort of multi-stakeholder collaborative process in countries that have been started through this fund have been very helpful, and we think it will continue. As well, we think that the sort of Global Sanitation Fund demand creation approach for hygiene and sanitation will have a knock-on effect, because we're not doing pilot projects, we're trying to work at scale, which means that if in India, for example, in the states of Jharkhand and Assam, which are two of the poorest Indian states and also have some of the lowest levels of sanitation and hygiene coverage, if they're able to have real success, then perhaps the neighboring states will say, well, that was quite interesting, let's look at how they did it. They don't have to do it then through the Global Sanitation Fund. It might just be that some approaches and ideas they find useful to implement in their own sanitation and hygiene programming. So, yeah, the point is those numbers of 2.6 billion people who don't have safe sanitation and hygiene, we want to see them come down quite a bit, and quite a bit faster, so that the MDG target, at least for sub-Saharan Africa, isn't met in the year 2071, as is the current rate of progress, but is actually much sooner.
Well, I wish you all the luck with the very commendable work. And if people want to find out more, you can find them online at www.wsscc.org. And that's the Water Supply and Sanitation Collaborative Council.
Mouthful.
Whew, big mouthful. Thanks ever so much.
Yeah, thank you.